me ask you a question. Have you ever thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a board game based either on the Bible or on the Word, or have just a fun game where you could learn about God's Word, a true Christian's board game?
Introducing Road to Heaven, the board game. The Road to Heaven board game is a fun, multi-sensory game created to bring people and families together.
It's a fabulous, fabulous game. I absolutely love it.
Thanks. So much has gone into this game. It took 8 years to make.
8 years to make it?
Yes, 8 years.
Road to Heaven gets people interested in the Bible. It's a wholesome Christian game that's fun and meaningful and teaches you how to live your life the way God intended.
This is very interesting because this is just like life.
Right.
Friends, this is more than a board game. This is a tool to share God's Word among families, friends, and perhaps even people who had never heard the Word of God.
Get this game. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. www.christianboardgame.com. What was that? Christianboardgame.com. I'll say it again. Christianboardgame.com. Check it out. You're going to love it. And you get to see Denise. You get to actually see Denise right there on the website. You just hit buy now, and within 2 days, you have a Road to Heaven game, and you can play it. You can listen to the podcast while you're playing. You can do whatever you want to do. ChristianBoardGame.com.
Questions. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
Hello, welcome to the Godcast Q&A for the beginning of November of 2016.
Yes.
We are here in the Pocono Mountains, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Doing this Q&A today.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you feeling?
Good.
I'm here with my wife, Christina, and we are just going to jump right into these questions.
Yes.
All right. So this first question is from John the Slaptist. I don't really get that.
I guess like the Baptist.
I know, but the Slaptist? All right. I want to know, do homosexuals automatically go to hell?
No.
The answer is no to that, John.
There's one sin that sends people to hell.
And that is not believing on Jesus.
Right.
Period.
Period.
That's
end
it.
End of story.
Okay.
All sin has been taken care of by the finished work of Jesus on the cross.
Mm. Okay, Taylor's up next. What a great-looking game. I want to play, but why is this shipping so much? Okay, Taylor's talking about the podcast from last week,
right,
and also the sponsor of this show today,
mm-hmm,
called The Road to Heaven Board Game,
mm-hmm,
available at christianboardgame.com, and also a history with God.org right there on the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the shipping is $10.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really a lot because it's coming through FedEx.
And the game is
so you
got
get
a
the
lot
game.
Of parts.
Yeah. Well, really, also, it also has a Bible in it, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that adds to the weight, but it's $10.
Mm-hmm.
$10. The game is $39.95 plus $10 in shipping. It's like 50 bucks,
mm-hmm,
but it's a great deal. You're getting it through FedEx. You're getting it in like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Denise wants to make it available, you know, so you're not waiting like weeks to get the thing. It's great, great Christmas gift.
I agree.
So $50 is not a lot to spend, believe me. It's not a lot to spend on a game.
How much is PlayStation?
Yeah, really. Exactly. And this, you play with your family. Everyone's sitting around the table. It's
a
nice.
It's a board game. You could have a little soda and some chips.
Right.
or you could be
bored playing some video game.
Right, that's boring.
Hmm. Okay, Taylor? Okay. Miguel wants to know, is the ministry going to make any more board games like the one on the podcast? We didn't make this game.
Right.
We did not make the game. We're just endorsing it. It's a great game. So probably
so who
no.
Who made this game?
Denise Migliaccio. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. She made the game. It took her 8 years to make the game.
Wow.
Yeah. 8 years to make this game.
Right. So she made the game. We're just promoting it.
Go to christianboardgame.com and you'll see the video there, and Denise explains everything. And just like she explains it on the podcast. All right, Bill wants to know. Hi, love the show. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
My question is, does Christianity devalue the natural world? For God so loved the world.
Right.
That he gave his only son. So, no, why? I'm not sure if I understand that question totally.
No, I don't think so. I think
no.
I think it values the natural world. Meaning, do you mean nature? in that, like, that kind of natural world, or just the world in general?
No, I don't think he means the
Because
nature.
I believe that we are stewards of the natural world.
We are.
We're supposed to be in authority and dominion over the natural world, and by doing that, we're caretakers.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't devalue it. We should value it because it was given to us to take care of.
Amen.
Anyway, that's what I think he's asking.
So, if that's what you were asking, then there's your answer. If it's not what you were asking, then email us back, clarify what you mean. Now, there's a couple here that they're not really questions. They're just giving us compliments.
Oh, that's nice.
Baby Blaze. Thank you, Baby Blaze. Thelma A. Thank you, Thelma A. Lake City Girl. Thank you for your compliment. Okay, Queen Darcy. Queen Darcy has a question. I was recently asked a question by an atheist that I couldn't answer, and I felt like an idiot. I figured you guys would be the best people to answer this for me. Please answer this.
Okay. I hope we can answer it.
Would you worship a God without the promise of heaven? I was told that a Christian will try and avoid answering this question at all costs. First of all, wait a minute. Would I worship a God without the promise of heaven? Would you still worship God? Without the promise of heaven?
Well,
I don't understand that question.
Okay, here's
Do you understand the question?
Yes, I understand the question, but it seems like...
Well, I'm a Queen Darcy. Please answer it.
It seems like a pointless question. If some atheist asked me this, I'd say, well, first of all, you have no idea about the God that I worship. Because it's not just about going to heaven.
Mm.
I mean, I worship God because of everything that he's done for me. I actually praise him for that. And I worship him because it goes much deeper for who he is.
Right.
Because he is love. And to say God, you know, without the promise of heaven.
It seems so shallow.
If I was posed that question, I'd say, you clearly don't have an idea of the God that I worship. Oh. To be asking me such a narrow-minded question.
And lame and shallow.
Well, I wouldn't say that to the person.
No, I'm saying like me.
I would say to ask me such a narrow-minded question, you have no clue of the vastness of goodness and love and prosperity and health and everything that God has given me right here, right now on this earth. And heaven is another glorious piece of that love that he's giving me.
Would you worship God without any of the promises that he's given us? Without any of the promises. Without the protection promise, the prosperity promise.
Okay, but what is this God then that you're telling me about?
Well,
like,
yeah,
okay,
I know.
So there's a God.
Kind of, yeah,
there's
right.
a God who's God.
Right.
And he sits on a throne.
Well,
and
he sent Jesus to die for us.
Wait.
He sent Jesus to die for us just so that we can get into heaven. Other than that, everything else
is crap.
Yeah.
Like, there's no prosperity, there's no health, it's sickness and evil and suffering.
And you just got to deal with it until
but
you
get
to heaven.
But we get to go to heaven after it's over, I'd still worship him. Because that's eternity. What is the point? What is this God then? What is this God we're talking about?
Right, so I'm
Who
just starting to think
then?
That the atheist then would say, all right, so then the atheist would say, well, then no. So then you wouldn't worship him without the promise of heaven.
Oh, without heaven?
Yeah.
But then I would say, then what is your God?
What God are you talking about?
What power does he have?
Yeah.
Like, what is he, the president of the United States? No, I would not worship the president of the United States. No, or any other.
He doesn't sound like a very powerful God.
Right.
Yeah.
What power does he have? What? So why would I worship him then? What has he got that I'm worshiping? Like, what is he about?
Yeah, who is he?
Who is he?
Queen Darcy, does this help?
Yeah, I don't know who is this God that you're talking about.
So answer his question with a question. The question is, well, what God are you talking about? Because you obviously don't know the God I worship.
Right, there you go.
Okay.
Turn it around.
Turn
the tables.
Go the other way with it.
Yeah. You don't have to answer his question. Put him on the defensive.
He has to answer your questions.
That's right.
Hmm. Queen Darcy.
Go find that guy or girl.
Name.
Yeah.
All right, Elman. Elman's up next.
Okay.
After listening to the You Are Promised Tomorrow podcast, I had to come back for more rich teaching from Frank and Christina.
Oh, wow.
What a blessing they are to the body of Christ. Well, thank you, Elman.
Thank you.
When Christina got the revelation from that scripture, We're Not Promised Tomorrow, was that right then and there that she got it, or did some time pass before she got it and went to the pastor with it.
It was right then and there. Like, the pastor gave the sermon, and it caused me to say God doesn't contradict himself. So then I went to the Word with it. So this is the progression of my actions and thought process. So I went to the Word with it, and I started studying it maybe the next day or whenever.
Oh, so it wasn't right then and there that you got the revelation, he's saying.
When the pastor was talking?
Yeah.
No. That put me on the search.
Okay.
So that was a Sunday. Let's say the next day I sat down with the Word.
Right.
Let's say it was Monday.
Right.
I went to that scripture and I read it, and that's when I got the revelation as I was reading the scripture.
Right, but a week later you went to him because I was standing
there. Yeah, because then the next time I saw him was the next Sunday.
Yeah, so about a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the process.
Right.
But as I read the Word, that's when I got the revelation.
Hmm. There you go, Elman. Oh, here we go. All right. Buckle up. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is from Lawrence.
Hi.
Greenback, Tennessee.
Ooh.
I have 5 questions that I would like to know if the Q&A people, I guess that's us, can answer for me.
Okay.
If they answer these questions, I'll accept Jesus.
Whoa, no pressure.
Be very careful. My salvation is riding on this. Oh, really? Wow.
If your salvation is riding on what
we say... Well, then bring it on. Here we go.
All right.
He has 5 questions.
All right.
We have to... Now, he didn't say we have to get them right. He just said you have to answer them.
Answer
them. So this is... Oh, that's good.
Oh, okay. Pressure's off. Okay. Pressure's off.
Okay. Number one.
Yes.
If God is all-knowing, why did he not know until the very moment in which Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac that Abraham feared God? Okay. I can take this one.
Go ahead.
First of all, it's not that he didn't know. He wanted Abraham to see.
Right. It wasn't about him. Right. God knowing. Exactly. It was about Abraham knowing.
So God stopped him.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. You know, my dad asked me this question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is a while ago. My dad said, why would God put Abraham through that?
Mm-hmm.
A loving God. Kill your only son? That's not, what is that? God was setting himself up.
Setting God himself up.
God was setting himself up.
Right.
Himself, not Abraham. Mm-hmm. He was setting himself up to be put in the situation where that if a man was willing to give up his only son for God, God would have to give up his only son for man.
Right.
So he saw that a man was willing to do it, and he was righteous. God considered Abraham righteous.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, hold it, stop, don't kill him. I'll offer up my son.
So you're not contradicting yourself now and saying that God had to see Abraham do it?
No. God had to have Abraham see what Abraham was willing to do for God so that he could understand what God was now willing to do for him.
Oh, okay. But God knew what
he was. Oh, yeah, he had a whole plan.
God knew Abraham was going to be obedient, and God also knew he was going to stop him.
Totally. Number two. Check that off your list there, Lawrence. Number two. If God is all-knowing, why did God ask Adam where he was and whether he had eaten fruit in Genesis? Again,
you can take that one.
God wanted Adam to come to the realization of where he was. It's not like he was hiding behind a tree and God couldn't find him. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
Adam knew he messed up. And God was like, Adam, where are you, man? Like, you know, where are you at? Meaning, in your walk with me. What are you doing? And it was like, did you eat the fruit I told you not to eat? It's like when you ask your kids.
Right.
You know what they did. You want them to confess it and to come clean so that you can move on with them and win.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
Why did God create mankind at all if in Genesis God said he was sorry he created him? Okay. Again. Lawrence. These are great questions. I love that... Your salvation is riding on this.
Well, amen. You got to hold up your end of the...
That's it, man. Yeah, you know, it's not like God was like, oh, this is going to be great. And he was caught by surprise that man screwed up and God was now repentant that he even made them.
I guess it's kind of like if you were a parent and you're like, oh, these kids. Why do I even have kids? But really...
You love them.
The parents not like really regretting that they had kids. They're just in that moment of grief and hurt, they verbalize something that they maybe, in most cases, is a truth.
I'm also going to throw a little wrench into your thinking here, Lawrence, just for a moment. And I heard this. I heard that what?
I said throw in a spanner.
A spanner? What is that? Is that a British term?
I'm going to throw in a spanner. I have no idea what that means, but okay. I heard Andrew Womack say this, and this was profound. This really like sent my head kind of like reeling for a while. It says in the Bible that God chooses to remember things no more.
Right?
Like, well, sin. Could he possibly do that? Like, he watches his kids, and he chooses not to remember what he knows they're going to do just to kind of see, because he's all-powerful, right? So if he's all-powerful, he could actually choose to remember things no more. Maybe he chose to remember no more what he already knew they were going to do just to see what they were going to do, if they were going to believe in him, if they were going to trust him. And then when they didn't, he was repenting that he even made man. You know, I don't know, just throwing a little spanner your way. But for the most part, he loves his kids. He loves mankind. That's why he sent Jesus to die for mankind. Okay. Number four, if God is so good, why does he put all of us to death? Well, He doesn't. He doesn't put any of us to death. I don't know what that means.
He actually saved us from death.
Right. Through Jesus, we have eternal life. He doesn't put us to death. And he doesn't put sinners to death either.
Right.
Sinners put themselves to death.
Right.
Because he made a way for sinners to escape sin and death.
Right. It's up to the sinner. Free will. God's not going to force you. It's your choice. Free choice.
Absolutely.
To either accept the free gift or say, I'd rather not.
It even says in the Bible, oh, death, where is your sting?
Right.
We won't even feel or taste death.
Right.
At all. Okay. Mm-hmm. And lastly, number five, if God is all just, you know, I'm just noticing a pattern here, Lawrence. You're saying if God is all-knowing, if God is so good, if God is all just, well, it sounds like you're already kind of saying, okay, well, it's almost like you're recognizing that he is all-knowing and all-good and all-just. And yeah, you're just saying, well, if he is that, then why is this? So I think your heart is pretty much already there. But it's okay. It's cool. I'll answer this last question here, number five. If God is all-just, how could he possibly punish mankind for what Adam did? He didn't punish mankind. Where are you getting that?
Not at all.
And I'm not beating up on Lawrence.
I know, but I actually appreciate the questions because I'm sure there are some Christians out there who think this is true. Because growing up Catholic, God punishing you was a big thing. Selling point. That was a big,
hold on about a selling point.
but you know, like, God's going to punish you if you don't
No,
behave.
God doesn't punish people.
God didn't punish people for what Adam did. God sent Jesus
right
to save us from punishment
right
for what Adam did.
Exactly.
He didn't punish us. He removed the punishment.
Right. That's why Jesus is called the last Adam.
Right.
Not the second Adam.
The last.
The last Adam. He was going to get it done.
Because he said, it is finished.
That's it, man.
Right.
So now that we've answered your questions, say this with me. Father in heaven, I accept the redemptive work that Jesus did on that cross for me. I reject Satan and all of his ways, and I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome to the family of God, Lawrence. Because I know you're a man of your word, and I know you said that prayer, and I would like to hear from you,
yes,
my man.
Let us know how you're
right?
doing.
Brother, and if you have any more questions, let me know.
Also, if you want immediate answers, a place that, like, we've promoted this before, Andrew Womack's website, he does Bible commentary, and he is a great Bible explainer.
And if you need something super quick, just go to ahistorywithgod.org, click on resources, then you'll see a 5-part Andrew Womack teaching called The True Nature of God. It'll really, really give you like good wake-up food there on God's character.
And also you can go to our older podcasts.
Absolutely. There's a whole library there.
Lots of topics.
Okay. This next one's from Concrete Bed. Okay. Spiritual food, please keep serving it up. I love Christina. She shares excellent practical ideas for moving my life forward. She is always encouraging and always challenging.
Thank you.
Question.
Yes.
How does she deal with Frank's point of view on things? Does she ever get angry with him for laughing so much? Great podcast. Oh, gosh. Concrete Bed. That's from Concrete Bed.
As long as it's not concrete head.
Yeah, I'm, well. go ahead, answer.
I mean, we disagree on something. Right now, off the top of my head right now, I can't think of anything right now.
Oh, we have one that we disagree on.
What?
That about, oh, no. I'm sorry. No, I remember I swayed you.
Right. See? So we're kind of, yeah.
I'm not even going to say
mostly I sway you.
No, this was a big one that I swayed you on.
Okay.
And we're not going to talk about it. Do you ever get angry with me for laughing so much?
No.
Okay.
I get angry with you for laughing.
Let's move on now to the next question. Is from someone named
laughing
Kirkwood.
Is not one of them.
Kirkwood writes in, I listened to the podcast and I have read Frank's book. Oh, cool. Why is it called a manuscript? That was actually not even, I didn't call it a manuscript.
Right,
Keith Axum did.
Keith coined that phrase.
Every time I would be on the phone with Keith and we'd be getting the book ready, he would say, hey, how's the manuscript coming? He just called it a manuscript, so that just,
it's just
stuck.
Yeah.
And now it says manuscript by Frank Sasso, which is actually good because I didn't write the book. I penned the book.
Right.
I didn't, that wasn't coming out of my head.
Right.
That was coming, it was a conversation that was dictated. Right. So, Steve Jenner, thank you for your compliment. Really appreciate that.
Thank you for all the compliments.
And Greg L. says,
encouraging, what?
If you want the real deal, here you go. That's all Greg L. said.
Here you go.
Here you go.
Mate.
Okay. Oh, this is from Tina Lofton. Love, love, love Frank.
Aww.
Bless him and his ministry.
Yay.
Happy to add the option of podcast to my ways of hearing them preach the word of God. Okay. Thank you, Tina Lofton. Oh, okay. I like this one.
Okay.
This is from Meisterbrow.
Ooh.
Let me get straight to the point.
Good. Let's go.
I don't fit in. I don't say a lot of nice things. And to be blunt, I'm a work in progress.
Aren't we all?
In my darkest days, drugs, lots of booze, and losing jobs, I found this ministry. Yeah, I used to sit there and listen to these guys on the podcast and drink a six-pack of beer. Now, I look forward to Sunday to see what's next. Am I ready for regular church? Not quite, but Frank reminded me in a podcast called Grace That Offends of one thing in those darkest of days, that God still loved me.
Amen, yes.
Could his message have more biblical quotes? Yeah, maybe. Excuse me. But when you're really down sometime, being reminded of God's love with practical examples may do more for some than even quoting the Bible. Here's a question maybe they can read. Is God going to judge me more harsh if I'm not in a church yet?
No.
Hmm.
No, no, and no.
Okay, Meister Brown.
God can't judge you if you're covered in the blood of Jesus.
He loves you.
Because he loves you. He sees Jesus in you. He sees you as perfect. There's nothing that he needs to judge because in his eyes, you are perfection.
Should you be part of a church body? Absolutely.
That is helpful to you,
yeah.
Because then you can link arms with people. If you're having a downtime, there's somebody who you can maybe reach out to. You can fellowship. You know, it's like you build friendships that way.
Right.
That way. So, but no, no, God's not judging you.
Right.
Harshly or not harshly.
Right.
He judged Jesus in your place.
I have a question, Meister Brown. Are you drinking beer right now? I have a feeling he is.
We actually went to a beer tasting
today. Went to a brewery tour. It was very nice.
Did a brewery tour.
Okay.
Brewery tour.
This next one says, I still love Bible a Bull. When is the next one coming out? I don't know. It is in the works. It's coming. It'll be around. Okay. This is by The Titan. My old philosophy professor is wanting to get together with me to chat about religion.
Okay.
He is extremely Christian, though very smart. What do you mean, though? Like, that's an opposite? Okay. I'm curious. What are the absolute hardest questions for Christians to answer? Let's forget about all the small things and the easy/simple ones. I want to know what the absolute hardest questions facing Christians are today.
So he's a philosophy
professor,
and he's a hardcore Christian? That usually is not the case. It's usually their atheist.
But he's very smart.
He's a Christian, but he's very smart.
It's not an oxymoron, a smart Christian. That should be the norm.
Right, right. Because we are all knowing
we
and
have
all
the mind of Christ.
Powerful,
right.
Because we have the Holy Spirit telling us stuff.
And the mind of Christ.
But the hardest question,
That's
so
like
the, subjective.
Here's the thing.
It's
based on relationship, right, not religion.
If
you're talking religion, then you could think of a bunch.
Yeah, it's like Bible or bull.
Yeah, it's like exactly.
Cow tipping or sacred cow tipping.
Right.
Because all those religious traditions and religious beliefs and doctrines, that's what sends people in the wrong direction.
Right.
And when you have a relationship and you're reading the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and then in turn, because he lives in you, you're all-knowing and all-powerful, you can get these great revelations, and the word opens up to you, and you get your answers.
Titan, if I may jump in for a moment, Titan.
Jump away.
If he wants to get together and talk about religion, then I guess you could also talk about prison, too, because if he's very smart, which you're saying he is, then he should know the word religion comes from the root word religios, which means returning to bondage. So if he wants to talk about religion, then talk about slavery. You could talk about bondage. But if I was getting together with someone who wants to chat about religion, the first thing I would do is when I get there is say, listen, I know you want to chat about religion, but I think there's much more fruit and encouragement and edification in talking about relationship.
Talking about Jesus.
Talking about the relationship you have with Jesus, not about the religious belief or doctrine that's going to just hold everybody back. Nobody had a problem with Jesus. Nobody had a problem with Jesus except for the religious people, the Pharisees.
Right.
Everyone else loved them.
Right. But again, maybe this Titan is just using that word religion. Talk about like Jesus. We don't know. There's a lot of like ifs that we don't know about the professor and what the conversation's going
to be. I just thought of something though.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's a hard question, but I would say a very, very good question to ask Christians and non-believers is just the name of this podcast. Who's your daddy? Mm-hmm. Do people know who they are? Do believers even? They don't know who they are. So as a result of not knowing who they are, questions like this can be formed. You know, this is how this happens. This is how this kind of conversation gets birthed. It's based on people not knowing who they are. I'm curious as to know how this goes.
Oh, here's another one that might pop up. If grace applies, then does that give us a license to sin?
Oh, that's
great.
The
old license to sin question.
Yeah, that's a good question. If grace applies, does that mean we can sin? We give people the license to be righteous.
Right.
All right, so last question. Sailor Man 1978. I was told that if I post a question, they might answer it. Okay. So I'm Catholic. Not practicing, though. Something that has always bothered me is what my question is.
Okay.
In the Catholic Church, we eat Jesus' body. Why would Jesus want you to eat his body and drink his blood? It sounds totally grotesque, doesn't it? Why would an all-powerful God want you to do something that in any other context sounds like a disgusting, cannibalistic, satanic ritual? Go.
Because he doesn't.
Wait a minute, what?
Because he doesn't.
He doesn't want you to eat Jesus' body?
No.
Or drink his blood?
No.
I remember a song.
Yes.
Eat his body, drink his blood.
And
I like the arm movement, like it's an old Irish drinking song or something.
That was
holding a stein?
That's the song that we used to sing in Holy Cross Grammar School, and I always hated it. But that's how we sang it. Eat his body, drink his blood.
Bam, bam, bam,
bam.
Very happy.
I think it was called Sons of God. Sons of God, here's the only word. I don't know. Anyway. God does not want you to literally. We do not believe in any way, shape, or form that when you take communion, that bread is transformed into the actual flesh of Jesus.
There was a lot of people.
Nor do we
that.
Believe if you drink the wine or the grape juice that is transformed into Jesus's blood. That is totally a religious
belief
doctrine.
Yeah.
That is totally not in the scripture. When Jesus said that, it was at the Last Supper, and he was saying that for his disciples to partake with him of his body and blood, not literally.
Right. He's saying, this is my body. This symbolizes my body. And look, boom, and he breaks it.
Right.
It's broken for you.
Remember, it was a Passover meal.
Right.
And here's a great study. You will get so much out of this. If you go on to maybe like a Jews for Jesus or a Christian site that is, or a Messianic Jewish site, you find out the meaning of the Jewish tradition of Passover, and Jesus is interwoven through that whole ritual of Passover, where there's three pieces of bread. The bread is unleavened. The bread is pierced. The middle bread is broken and hidden. It's wrapped in a cloth and hidden, and the children have to find it. There's so much meaning in that Passover tradition that is a foreshadowing to Jesus's sacrifice on the cross. That is absolutely a religious doctrine that is not scriptural.
And if Jesus's body is in heaven now, what happened? Pieces of them fall out of the sky?
They would say that it's a miracle and it's this.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's just, dare I say, it's a man-made tradition that the devil got a hold of so that people would be turned off and not go to communion, because communion is a powerful thing. It's almost like you're re-establishing or remembering. I should say remembering, not re-establishing. You're remembering what Jesus did on the cross. It's done in remembrance. Remembrance of what he did. Remembrance of what that means. Remembrance of the power in that. Not that whole other thing that has no meaning whatsoever. So I hope that answers your question. You were absolutely right in feeling that way.
Yes. See? And you know what? You felt something weird. Like, this doesn't sound like the God I know.
Right.
Doesn't sound like his character. So you checked it out.
See, that's the Holy Spirit in you prompting you to
say, that question. Sure.
Wait a minute. This doesn't sound like the God I know.
Right.
And that leads you into finding out for yourself.
Exactly.
So I would encourage you to find, you know, don't take my word for it. Search it out. Like I said, check out the meaning of the Passover meal and get it in the scripture. You and the Holy Spirit have a great time studying that.
Amen there, Boobaloo. All right. Anything else? You have anything on your heart or mind?
No.
You good?
I'm good.
Okay. I'm good too.
Great to hear from you all.
That was a lot of fun. Good questions.
Letters coming. We love to hear from
you. Your letters.
Yes. Your handwritten letters.
Letters. We get your letters. We get your letters every day. Okay. Enough singing. Go to Christian Board Game. Remember, it's a great Christmas gift. Such a great Christmas gift. You will be blessing people with that Christmas present of Road to Heaven. Available at ChristianBoardGame.com.
It has
a Bible in it.
Full Bible.
And no, it doesn't get any cheaper if they leave the Bible out of the shipping, so it gets cheaper shipping. The Bible's there. It comes with the game. That's how it comes.
That's great. It puts Bibles in the hands of lots and lots of people.
Yes, it gets Bibles
That's
into
the
homes of everyone. That was one of her missions. One of her missions. One of her visions for the game was to get a Bible into every house.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Make it so.
So remember, until next week, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a board game based either on the Bible or on the Word, or have a just a fun game where you could learn about God's Word, a true Christian's board game?
Introducing Road to Heaven, the board game. The Road to Heaven board game is a fun, multi-sensory game created to bring people and families together.
It's a fabulous, fabulous game. I absolutely love it.
Thanks. So much has gone into this game. It took 8 years to make.
8 years to make it?
Yes, 8 years.
Road to Heaven gets people interested in the Bible. It's a wholesome Christian game that's fun and meaningful, and teaches you how to live your life the way God intended.
This is very interesting, because this is just like life.
Right.
Friends, this is more than a board game. This is a tool to share God's word among families, friends, and perhaps even people who had never heard the word of God.
Get this game. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. www.christianboardgame.com. What was that? Christianboardgame.com. I'll say it again. Christianboardgame.com. Check it out. You're going to love it. And you get to see Denise. You get to actually see Denise right there on the website. You just hit buy now, and within 2 days, you have a Road to Heaven game, and you can play it. You can listen to the podcast while you're playing. You can do whatever you want to do. ChristianBoardGame.com.